wonder if I use the word fellowship. What comes to your mind? What do you think about if I ask you to stay for fellowship after the service? What comes to your mind? Hands up if it's a tray bake. Come on. Yeah, we're there. Fellowship, what usually comes to our mind is talking together. It generally involves a cuppa, and most usually involves one of these as well, or something like that. And that's very often what we think about when we talk about fellowship. Fellowship in that sort of thinking is a social activity. And it's great. It's good that we have time out here to actually chat together. It's good to have that cuppa and that biscuit just to spend time together, because sometimes we just fly past each other with, good morning, how are you? And we nod, or maybe we don't even take time to do that. So it's good to have that time to spend together. But it can be simply a social activity. Nothing more than that. And when we talk about fellowship and we think about a cup of tea and a biscuit, yes, it's good, and certainly I'm never going to knock a cuppa and a biscuit. But fellowship is much, much more. Real fellowship is not a spiritual or a social activity. It's a relationship between two or more people who want to help each other to grow in Christ. Real fellowship is when Christian people get together, and yes, they chat together, they have a cuppa, they have a biscuit, they have a tray bake, but more importantly, they spend time encouraging each other, helping each other to grow in Christ. There's a verse in the book of Genesis which simply said it is not good for the man to be alone. And sometimes we read that verse and we immediately jump to marriage, and it's important there. But I suspect that its meaning, its principle, goes far beyond marriage. It's not good to be alone. God made us to be not independent and alone. God made us to be dependent. And last week we looked at being dependent upon Him. But we're also dependent on each other. It's not good to be alone. And so there is this necessity within the church that we really are involved in much more than just a cuppa, in true fellowship. Who's this guy? The Lone Ranger. Now, which one's the Lone Ranger? The one with the mask or the one with the long face? What do you call the horse? And what was the famous Lone Ranger saying, getting his horse going? Hi-ho, Silver. Now, there are people below a certain age who are struggling with all of this, looking at that thinking, what is that about? So if you're in that category, look to someone who's a little bit older who knows what that's about. Take them into the link afterwards. Have a cup of tea or coffee and ask, who on earth was that with the mask? The Lone Ranger. There is no place in the church for a Lone Ranger. There is no place in Scripture for someone who chooses to be alone and to grow alone. It just doesn't happen. The Lone Ranger does not exist in the church. We were made to be dependent upon God. We were made to be dependent upon each other. And so we share this common life in Christ. As you read through the book of the Acts of the Apostles, the early church growing, they share together their faith. They share together all that God has blessed them with. And they ask things like, what's God been teaching you? Heather has a cousin who lives in Canada. When you talk to her on the phone, within a very short time after, hello, how are you, how are you keeping? What's God doing in your life? And it's one of those questions that you think, oh, that's what fellowship's about. What's God teaching you in these days? And we share it because not only does it help us, but it also helps each other. It's like that hand on our back pushing us along, helping us along when life's difficult, because we begin to share what God is really doing in our lives. The writer to the Hebrews talks about this encouraging. And the writer simply says, encourage each other daily, as long as it is called today. So if you get up in the morning and it's today, that's the day that we need to encourage each other. Why? So that none of us may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We encourage each other. This was written to people whose backs were against the wall, people who are being persecuted because of their faith in Jesus Christ, who needed that hand on their back to push them through those hard times. Encourage one another daily. And then those verses that Paula read for us. Let me read a couple of them for you. Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. The emphasis in these verses is on encouraging each other so that we can stand firm in Christ. Encouraging each other so that we can live out our Christian lives. Encouraging each other so that when life is difficult, we can still keep moving along. Spurring one another on to love and good deeds. For we need to be strong against temptation. Wouldn't it be interesting if everybody was asked to stand up and one after another, this is my temptation, this is my temptation. Wouldn't that be an interesting morning? Not going to do it. Relax. But we all need help to stand against temptation. We all need to be shaken at times when we risk falling asleep in our Christian lives. We all need to move towards that love and good deeds that we're called to. One of the authors that I enjoy reading to relax is Alexander McCall Smith. Maybe you've read some of his books, The Ladies' Number One Detective Agency and all those things. They're great. If you want something just to relax with, they're great. But one of his characters who is involved in the church, one of his characters says this: there is always work for love to do. There is always work for love to do. And that's what the writer to the Hebrews is saying when we spur each other on towards this love and good deeds, because there's always work for love to do. Wherever we are, whoever we're with, always work for love to do. Encourage one another. And then the writer to the Hebrews goes on to say, let us not give up meeting together. And sometimes we apply that to what we're doing now. So it's the rallying call to be here at 10:30 next Sunday morning. Let us not give up meeting together. But is that it? Is it just to keep a Sunday morning full and busy and active? It's important. It's vital. But it's not the whole answer. We fulfill this meeting together when we encourage one another, when we spur each other on, when we help each other through those difficult times. That's when we're meeting together also. So when the writer to the Hebrews says, let us not give up meeting together, simply saying, don't be a lone ranger. Don't try to do it alone. that we need time. We need time to encourage each other. We need to be intentional, deliberate about it. Sometimes we will bump into people and we'll be able to help them. Other times we need to actually set time aside and say, you know what? I'd like to meet with you and chat with you about that. Let's go and have that coffee and that bun. But let's talk about what's important. Let's talk about our spiritual lives. So what does spiritual fellowship look like? Fellowship where we seek to encourage each other to grow in Christ. Let me give you some things of what it looks like. It's based on the fact that we already have fellowship with God. How can you talk about your relationship with God with someone else if you don't have that relationship already? Obviously, we need to keep our conversations, our relationships with non-Christian people open and working and active, but if we want to have fellowship, we need to find other Christian people. Fellowship with God is both the foundation of our fellowship, but it's also the goal of our fellowship. So spiritual fellowship presupposes you have a relationship with God. Oops, not a great color to choose, Stephen. It involves mutual commitment and responsibility. Mutual commitment and responsibility. So it's two or more people saying, do you know what? I'm going to commit to encouraging you. Will you encourage me? Will you help me? Will you put your shoulder, your hand on my shoulder during difficult times? But it works both ways. It's that mutual commitment, responsibility. We need to watch out for one another. They can't really do that in a large group. Can't do it with hundreds of people. We can't commit ourselves to being there for hundreds of people, close to hundreds of people. We commit ourselves to one or two folks. And we're there for them. We share what God is saying to us through the Bible. I think we need to talk about the headlines. We need to talk about what's going on in our nation, in our world. But we must never miss out on actually saying, what's God saying into this situation? What's God saying to me about this situation? And sharing with each other the truth of the Bible, because that's part of our spiritual fellowship. We need to be open with one another. We need to find people that we can be absolutely honest with. People that you can talk about your failure. You can talk about your discouragement. You can talk about being down, and you know it doesn't go any further. But you know also that those people will pray for you, will encourage you, will lift you up. Because when you think about it, you can't really pray for someone if you don't know them. You can't really encourage someone if you don't know what's pulling them down. We need to find people that we can be open and honest with. People that we can pray with and for, wherever. Spiritual fellowship, yes, it may well involve a cuppa, it may well involve a biscuit, but it's much, much more than that. It's about praying. It's about sharing God's truth. It's about being open, being honest, being committed. It's about desiring to grow in our relationship with God. Sounds tricky. Sounds difficult. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, Stephen, it sounds much more than that. It sounds impossible. But we all need to find those one or two people with whom we can really have that deep fellowship in which we are encouraged and grow. The end of the Old Testament, there's a little passage in the book of Malachi that gives us a glimpse of this spiritual fellowship at work. The background is that Israel is being restored to the land. Israel has been banished into exile. They're now being brought back into the land. And yet many people in that nation are still disobeying God. They've been banished because of their disobedience. Now they're being restored back to their land. And even now they're still disobeying God. But there's a group of folks who fear God and have fellowship together. This is what Malachi chapter 3, verse 16 says. Those who feared the Lord talked with each other. Part of fellowship. Based on this relationship with God and talking with each other. I'm sure they talked about the weather. They probably didn't talk about how badly Ireland did in the rugby yesterday, but you know, they found something else to talk about. But they talked about what was going on in their lives, what God was doing. Those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. It's as though God is eavesdropping on this little group of people who are talking about what's going on in their lives, and the Lord listens and hears what's going on. And then Malachi says, a scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. It's interesting. Did God have to write these things down? The eternal, infinite, all-powerful God, did he have to write these things down so that he could remember who was involved in that group? We have to write it down. I certainly have to write these things down. Did God have to write it down so he could remember who the people were? Or did God write it down because he was delighted in those people who spent time in fellowship together? And as a way of honoring them, God draws up this scroll of remembrance. God delights in his people having fellowship together. Sometimes I think we lose sight of the fact that God takes delight in his people. He's not a harsh God. He's not a distant God. This is the God who takes delight in his people, who loves us, who loves to see his people grow as they encourage each other, as they talk with each other. And he delights in it. So my challenge, and my challenge to you is, do you have that one person or two or three people with whom you can have this deep, meaningful fellowship? As we move into a new season here within church, as things start up again, this may be the opportunity for you to get alongside someone. Can we pray together? Can I tell you what God's doing in my life? Would you pray for me? Because this is what's happening in my life. And as we do that, we begin to grow more in our relationship with God. And our lives then bring him glory. Find that person. I'm blessed that I have a couple of people that I know I can send a text to or lift the phone to or whatever, and we can do this together. May God give us the grace to see those people with whom we can have fellowship together. Yes, we need to talk with each other, everyone. But may God give us the grace to identify those one or two people with whom we can have this deep relationship in Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, you made us. You know us. You know how we think. You know how we work. You know how we struggle. You know how stubborn and self-centered we can be, and yet you are patient and gracious with us. Lord, help us, we pray, to find those people around us with whom we can share from our hearts, that together we may grow in our knowledge and experience of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray.